this really is more coming from the White House, and this has been in place for some time now, is that, you know, coming from Obama, that they are really pushing for the rewrite of the Section 503 Rehabilitation Act, which requires federal contractors and subcontractors to take affirmative action for individuals with disabilities.
So let's take a half a step back, and Section 503 essentially deals with people with some kind of disability. Under this proposed rule, open for comment for a couple more weeks, under this proposed rule, a lot of requirements for contractors on how you deal with disabled. If you're going to take federal work, there potentially could be very different ways of dealing with hiring of disabled.
I mean, I think what they're proposing would have massive implications for federal contractors and subcontractors. I mean, it would really change their entire hiring practices, as well as, you know, requiring statistical analyses of your workforce data. You know, so looking at your work to see, you know, workforce to see how many people in your workforce have a disability by certain job categories, and then matching that up to some census data to say, okay, your employment data of those with disabilities is less than what would reasonably be expected out in the general workforce. Therefore, you are underrepresented for people with disabilities. And now you must take affirmative action to go out and not only find individuals with disabilities for your type of jobs, but one of the things that's floating in a study that the Labor Department commissioned, and this study is recommending, not only do you have to find those individuals with disabilities, but you're going to have to give them preference in the hiring process. So two people applying for the same job both meet the basic qualifications. The proposed or potential proposed requirement would be that you give preference to that individual with disability. So I mean, it's really going to change hiring practices. One of the other interesting things that's being proposed in this study for the announced notice of proposed rulemaking is that if an individual with disability applies to your company and they meet the basic qualifications, you must grant them at least an interview. And that's, you know, that's fine for a company that's hiring 5, 10, 15, but there are federal contractors out there that are hiring 50,000 people a year. I mean, you're talking about over a million applicants every year applying to these companies. Now a company would have to go in and really look at, okay, who has a disability, who's applying, which we should talk about that in a second, because that's a whole new level as well, and say, okay, they're applying, they meet the basic quality, we must interview all of them.
And how do you assess, it seems to me, and again, this is a proposed rule, so this isn't the final rule, so there's a lot of questions in it, rather than actually stating what one has to do. But it seems to imply that there's a lot of paperwork that's going to go along with this potential rule as well.
A tremendous amount of paperwork, you know, because number one, you know, one of the big things that's really fascinating about what the Labor Department is considering is going forward. Let me take a step back. Right now, we have the Americans with Disabilities Act. Americans with Disabilities Act makes it very clear that you are not allowed to ask an applicant whether or not they have a disability before making an employment offer. So you cannot inquire about disability status. The ADA was created.
Just to pause you for 1 second, this seems to go absolute 180 from that.
It's complete 180.
Yeah.
And because it's right now, it's illegal to ask an applicant whether or not they have a disability because they don't want the individual who's making an employment decision to say, well, this person's got a disability. I don't want to have to make a reasonable accommodation to change my my bathroom or what have you. Therefore, I'm not going to select this individual because of their disability. So ADA was written that way. Complete 180 with what they're proposing with some sort of loophole in the 503 regs and ADA. They're trying to say now on the flip side, not only are you going to ask everyone who applies whether or not they have a disability, you're going to give them an option. Say, you know, give us your disability status for purpose of data collection, which is new, or give us your information for data collection purposes, as well as to share your disability status with everyone who's involved in the hiring process so they can give you preference. So there's a lot of controversy around that. I mean, people who are very familiar with ADA are getting a little queasy about that because ADA was written to prohibit that.
Yeah, it's a very different way of looking at this. Rather than saying, hold on, you need to be blind about these things, all of a sudden you need to be proactive about these things, a very different methodology of looking at this.
Yep.
And the question, some of the questions are very interesting. One of them is, would the establishment of placement goals for individuals with disabilities measurably increase their employment opportunities within the federal contractor sector? Explain why or why not. Again, one gets a sense that the idea here is that contractors who traditionally have not had goals all of a sudden may be under the same kind of goals that federal agencies are under.
That's a big part of what they're proposing. I mean, right now, federal contractors have to establish affirmative action goals. Okay, so they have to do a statistical analysis of their workforce, compare it to census data for both females and minorities. Okay, so they have to create quantitative goals. Now, just to clarify, those goals that federal contractors have to establish do not require, though, that the contractor give preference in the hiring process or establish quotas. The only requirement for a federal contractor is that they make a good faith effort to try and attract qualified minorities and women. What they're proposing here is these placement goals for individuals with disabilities. Now, it really raises some interesting questions. One, what data is out there by specific, you know, job category in order to create these statistical placement goals? I'm not too sure that, you know, that the data is available to really create a what we call in the field a requisite skills calculation of data for employers to match up. But on top of that, I mean, just think about it conceptually. It's an interesting concept. So here I have a federal contractor who says, well, I'm looking at my executives, and only 2% of my executives have a disability. But I have this placement goal of 5%. So in theory, when you kind of try to put where the rubber meets the road is, what do you do with that? I mean, so what does a contractor do? They say for my officials and managers, I need to now go out and find more officials and managers or, you know, executives with a disability. So it is how you would actually implement that, I think, is yet to be determined.
We're talking to David Cohen. He is president of DCI Consulting Group. DCI Consulting Group, essentially, you help people deal with these kinds of these kinds of issues, right?
Yeah, I mean that's our core business. We are working with federal contractors and subcontractors, who have these requirements under the law, and work with the Office of Federal Contract Compliance Programs to do these workforce statistics and conduct analyses for both affirmative action planning as well as to look at trends in terms of systemic discrimination. So we're very familiar with all this stuff, and like I said, with the addition of quantitative analyses of disability, it's really a fascinating thing. Now, with that being, I think it's a pretty noble idea. I mean, I think it's something that should be considered, and this is, you know.
One of the questions actually implies, at least, that it says, what measures have contractors and subcontractors taken to fulfill the current affirmative action requirements in Section 503? And I actually didn't realize, are there requirements already for contractors?
They've been around since 1973.
Huh?
Well before the Americans with Disabilities Act. So the 503 requirements for federal contractors, which is affirmative action for individuals with disabilities, as well as veterans, but they have not been hard or quantitative. They've been more kind of substantive, you know, outreach and recruitment, partnering with organizations that deal with disabilities, and contractors who get audited by the OFCCP would have to demonstrate that, you know, from a really more of a qualitative standpoint, that they were doing things to partner with these organizations to try and find and attract individuals with disabilities into their workforce. So this has been around for a long time. The Clinton administration in December of 2000 really looked at this and said, you know what, it's not hard enough. I mean, there's really nothing we can measure our effectiveness with these programs because there are no statistics. We don't get the statistics of those people who are applying because we're not allowed. We're not really surveying our workforce to see who's got a disability. And there's no census data out there. So the Clinton administration dropped it in 2000. But Obama, when he was, you know, running for president, and I quote, he said he pledged to direct his Secretary of Labor to make changes to the regulations implementing 503 so that they more closely resemble those implementing the Executive Order 11246 for women and minorities. So Obama talked about this during the campaign. And that's why, you know, we certainly think that this is not a Labor Department initiative. This is coming from the White House.
And you mentioned this this study that is floating around out there, but not made public.
Well, yeah, the Labor Department commissioned this study. It's kind of not on the main website. It's not on OFCCP's website. It's on ODEP's website, Office of Disability. They commissioned the study. It's out there. You can get it. So it is.
If you know where to look, you can find it.
It's certainly not on OFCCP's website, where they have this announced notice of proposed rulemaking, asking federal contractors and the public. They're at this point. They're seeking information, and they have a whole host of questions that they're putting out there to the federal contractor community. And stakeholders to say, answer these questions for us on how you think we can do this, how we can change 503 and make it quantitative, without mentioning that a study has already been commissioned. And what's interesting, if you look at the study, not only did they do a study, they actually have rewritten the regulations. Now, whether or not the Labor Department is going to take that the study that's out there with the rewrite of the regulations and then copy and paste into their proposed rulemaking is yet to be seen.
And essentially the next steps here, people have until September 21st to make any comments, and then it goes back to the Labor Department to see what they want to do.
Yeah, the comments are due September 20th, in September to back to the Labor Department. They'll collect the information. They're going to look at all the comments that are put out there, answering their questions, take it into consideration, and then the next step is the actual notice of proposed rulemaking. It'll be put up on the Federal Register. Once again, people will have the ability to comment on these proposed rules. And then it has to go. They'll edit and make any changes. Goes to OMB for final approval, and then we've got published regs. If I was a betting man, I would say this is going to happen. It will happen within the next 2 years. It's flying a little bit under the radar screen, but it's going to have really big implications for federal contractors.